This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. How about some more about Hooters?
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
Hooters 2 years running as the presenting sponsor in season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Our two successful remotes at Hooters in Hillsboro in Tampa and Hooters on Hillsboro in Tampa, technically in Hillsboro County as well, and Hooters on 4th Street North in St. Petersburg. Always keep Hooters in your plans, whether you are within the Tampa Bay area or anywhere around the country or around the world when it comes to football watching at Hooters. Hey, before we get into the actual podcast, let me also remind those of you who have shown interest in the Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, Todd Wright Tour XVII. This is our annual football-themed event. We do it on one NFL Sunday every year. I strategically pick the Sunday because you pick NFL games, and the better you pick in those games, the better you do as it relates to your golf tournament score and getting advantages in the golf tournament. We'll also have the famous Todd Wright Tour prize draft at the end of this golf tournament. Maybe you play in some golf tournaments where you buy a super ticket or raffle and you go home with nothing. You buy in to the Todd Wright Tour prize draft, you are guaranteed to leave with something. And it's something you can choose off the prize table. I'll put my tournaments up against any others. And as Bengal Ralph, who has played in virtually every one of them, is a pretty happy guy these days, even though they lost to Carolina yesterday. Bengal Ralph says, I charge 3 to 5 times less than other golf tournaments and deliver 5 to 10 times more value. We are just $68 per player, lunch from Better Bird, full dinner of carved roast beef from Chef Daniel, Cowboys fan, at West Chase Golf Club, $68 per player, and I'm at 80% capacity for October 28th. Do not end up on the waiting list. You can sign up as an individual, a twosome, a threesome, or a foursome. Any questions about the golf tournament, email toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. And you can register and look for yourself at all the details of the event at joebucksfan.com/golf. That's where you also sign up to play. All right, I'm recording this podcast during the Monday night game between the Steelers and the Buccaneers. There hasn't been a significant injury in that game, say to the level of the Jimmy Garoppolo injury from a day ago. So I won't have any full comments or analysis about Buccaneers or Steelers in this particular podcast. So we'll cover the Steelers then. Later in the week, in the week 4 preview, and we'll cover the Buccaneers with their matchup, look back at their matchup against the Steelers, and then look ahead to their fantasy perspective as it relates to them and the Bears, now 2-1 after coming back from 14-0 down early at the very bad Arizona Cardinals, in the Bucs Bulletin Edition, which posts every Wednesday. Just subscribe to the podcast and you get everything. You get the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast twice a week. You get the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin Edition presented by Brandon Legal Group, huge sponsors and supporters of the Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments as well. So make sure you subscribe and you always know when the new podcast does drop. I would imagine the theme of last week's podcast that we sort of talked about in general was the explosive plays and having those players who have put up what I call Tecmo Bowl numbers through the first 2 weeks. There wasn't as much of that. Granted, there were some big numbers again out there, particularly from NFC South teams. If you have a piece and the proper piece of the Saints, the big names there, the Falcons, Calvin Ridley coming through, the rookie wide receiver with 3 touchdowns there. Another good game for Matt Ryan, even though no Devontae Freeman in that game. And Carolina with Christian McCaffrey paying off even more so. There's been a steady climb there for McCaffrey after a sort of beginning for the hardworking multi-purpose back for the Carolina Panthers we were so high on before the season began. Obviously, and the Buck game is going on as we speak, but certainly the Buccaneers have put up a lot of points going into the Monday night game, struggling through the first half of that game. We won't talk any more about it. We'll save that for the Bucs bulletin. But explosive players, Pat Mahomes, for example, Travis Kelce, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Christian McCaffrey, Julio Jones is week one. Ridley puts up huge numbers for Atlanta. Melvin Gordon having a big first two games. Gurley, not a lot of yards, but three touchdowns week two. A.J. Green, not much yardage, three touchdowns week two. Having those guys generally won you fantasy games. Now we get to the point where you're starting to wonder if some of the guys on your team, if you need to make changes through 3 weeks. If you're 0-3, if you're 1-2, I'm guessing you drafted one of the following four guys. Le'Veon Bell, giving you nothing unless you found a trade partner and got something in return these first 3 weeks. David Johnson, you've gotten very little because Arizona's just real bad. And from a schematic standpoint, Johnson doesn't appear to be utilized the way he was utilized in the past. Cardinals switching to Josh Rosen. Maybe they, you know, sort of looked at what Buffalo got out of Josh Allen, seeing what Cleveland got out of Baker Mayfield. The rookie quarterbacks, other than Lamar Jackson, seemingly all in play now as we head into week four. Keep in mind, we got some bye weeks coming up as well. I believe Washington on bye, Carolina on bye. There might be one or two more, but I know it might just be Washington and Carolina on bye in week four, but the bye weeks start to kick in. So if you're a McCaffrey owner, a Cam Newton owner, Adrian Peterson's had another good game, one of the leading rushers in week three. He can't do that on a week-to-week basis, but in that result against the Green Bay Packers, he put up good numbers and produced if you happen to plug and play him. For whatever reason, probably more in daily than in your season-long league. But now through 3 weeks, yeah, I mean, if you're a Bell owner, you're wondering, what do I do? If you're a David Johnson owner, it's held you back. Ezekiel Elliott, to a lesser extent, it was interesting. I'm a Cowboy fan to hear Elliott take the blame for the loss. He shouldn't. He was really the only Cowboy offensive player who actually produced. Granted, he had a bad fumble in the game, but this just continues to be on the horrible Cowboy receiving core, and also some problems with the offensive line, either protecting Dak or blocking for Ezekiel Elliott, or a combination of both. And now Leonard Fournette is in play. And in the podcast league, I drafted Fournette in the second round and have gotten one quarter from him. I mean, the only difference between Fournette and Le'Veon Bell is Fournette basically played about a quarter and a half, and that's it. And then we had the late news overnight on Saturday that Fournette, after the feeling was he's going to go, he's going to go, he's going to go, no, doesn't go. Granted, at least a little bit of lead-up time, and then Jacksonville lays an egg in week three off the big win over the Patriots. Also, as far as the results in week three, like looking at Buffalo over Minnesota, Titans over Jacksonville as a couple of the results that stand out. Washington beating Green Bay, and you're thinking, well, what does this mean? It's kind of pro football, where through the first 2 weeks, if a team looked Detroit over New England, if a team looked really bad, they're going to migrate back toward back towards 500. Even Cleveland winning a game, granted it was against the Jets. Really good teams have an off game against those bad teams. So not unpredictable. So from a fantasy standpoint, I wouldn't overreact too much to that. Just look at kind of the big picture of the 16-game regular season. In some of those results, just sort of realize, hey, you know, that really good 2-0 team wasn't going to go 16-0. Granted, how does Minnesota lose to Buffalo? Buffalo is going to win a few games along the way. Cleveland wins a game, will probably win some more than that. What's in our Tennessee is just kind of an odd. They're an odd watch, but defensively they showed up. Jacksonville had a really good game plan against the Patriot defense without Fournette. I don't think they had another plan. And clearly Tennessee was prepared if Jacksonville was going to try to use that same game plan without Fournette against the Titans in week three. So anyway, those four players, if you are a fantasy owner and you are struggling, I'm guessing that you probably drafted Bell, Johnson, Elliott to a lesser extent. It's not like Elliott has done nothing, but he's not giving you big numbers. He's not giving you Kamara numbers, not McCaffrey numbers, not trying to think of one more, Melvin Gordon numbers. Nope, hasn't done that. And certainly Fournette. So that's holding you back at that point. I said on Gil Alexander's show, on VSiN, and many times here on the podcast, the one thing you didn't want to do was get into the fantasy season and not have a true RB1 because you can't catch up. If you don't have an RB1, those are the floor is 10 points a week. The ceiling is upwards of 25 or 30, and you're just not likely to make that up with other people. So that's why there was such a premium on those RB1s. And I mean, all those guys we talked about are, and they are not producing. And where do you go from there? I mean, let's think about some of the other running backs. I mean, let's just go by team. All right. So indulge me. I'll run through all 32 and talk about running backs. New England, good luck figuring that one out. It's not like anyone's emerged. Rex Burkhead is a mystery at this point with New England. Miami. Okay, Kenyon Drake's not an RB1, but he's putting up some RB2 numbers. Gore is getting enough action to be relevant, probably more in DFS. Buffalo, McCoy doesn't even play. Chris Ivory puts up numbers, and I don't think it's anything to get excited about other than in daily. And the Jets, Bilal Powell has a good game against his former Isaiah Crowell has a good game against his former team. I don't know if we're reading a heck of a lot into it. Then you get to James Conner. Yeah. If you were smart enough to draft Le'Veon Bell and then throw the dart on James Conner, it's worked out very well. That's the handcuff situation, and it couldn't have played out better for you. Maybe you just drafted James Conner in a league where you didn't draft Le'Veon Bell, and it worked out very well for you. Gio Bernard had some good numbers in place of Joe Mixon, who's out a couple weeks, the way Freeman out a couple weeks. Tevin Coleman is a good option without Freeman there. But it's not like – okay, I'm not going to go through all 32 here. It's not like someone who was an RB2 has emerged as an RB1 or there's an RB3 or 4 out there who's emerged as a 1. Matt Breida, two games in a row. Now, without Jimmy Garoppolo, what does that mean? So there's the ripple effect there. Again, it's 2 weeks in a row for Breida. It's more than I ever thought. But now how do defenses game plan for Breida with C.J. Beathard under center? I mean, I think C.J. Beathard is capable, but he's not Garoppolo. San Francisco now is just a team trying to compete every week. They're not a team that's going to go out and confidently think they can score enough to win, especially with the personnel they have on defense, which doesn't look particularly good at this point, and no McKinnon to start the season either. But you don't make that up. So if you didn't get an RB1 or you drafted Bell or Fournette, David Johnson, lesser extent, Ezekiel Elliott, who's been putting up more RB2-ish numbers, there's a gap there in points that you don't have. And as of right now, there wasn't really anybody else you could grab. I mean, if you had David Johnson the last 2 weeks, and for whatever reason, you sat David Johnson and played Matt Breida, it actually worked out. But I doubt you did that. I don't know if doing that going forward works, because Breida's numbers may regress with defenses game planning him more without Garoppolo in there. I think there'll be a domino effect also on George Kittle when Goodwin comes back. So not a lot to get excited about with the San Francisco 49ers. So some thoughts there. I mean, just looking around at we talked about Ridley a little bit and his impact. Again, you always want to have a piece of these high-scoring offenses. And sometimes you need to have the right pieces. But, you know, for example, Michael Thomas or Alvin Kamara with the Saints. But there will be cases like in Atlanta, Calvin Ridley bubbles up with three touchdowns as the number one pick for the Atlanta Falcons. Devin Funchess is more of a factor without Greg Olsen on the field. So is Christian McCaffrey, as Olsen went out in that first game of the season against the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm trying to think of something else as it relates to it. Well, the Rams seem to be spreading it around pretty well. With I think Cook's owners are happy. I think Woods owners are happy. Cup owners are happy. And Gurley owners have nothing to complain about. So there's been enough to go around there. And there's the feeling that the Rams haven't even been tested yet in winning these first three games. Big game for Jordy Nelson. So two games in a row that some Raiders put up points. You know, well, actually 3 weeks. So week one, it was Cook. With you know, Lynch has been decent, but then you go Cook as the primary target week one. Then Cooper came up in Carr's very efficient week two, albeit a loss. And then you had Jordy Nelson with a lot of catch and run action in week three, all in losing efforts. So perhaps that Raider passing game and that Raider offense is worth keeping an eye on because clearly they're going to be playing from behind a lot, needing to score points. So something could emerge there that's worthwhile or pay off if you did invest in Carr or Cooper or in Jordy Nelson. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, of course, is presented by Hooters. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, you have 12 original Hooters locations to choose from. And if you are outside the Tampa Bay area, I'm sure it won't take much of an effort for you to find or already know where your nearest Hooters location is for football watching on any night of the week where there is a game on, and of course for the Saturday college football action and the Sunday NFL action as well. Always thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Keep the emails coming. As long as we can just have a dialogue about players, and you're not giving me the cliche question, I have these five guys, pick three to start. No, you pick your own starters. Ask me questions about players, players on your roster, players on your bench, players you're thinking of cutting, players you're thinking of picking up. I'm happy to answer your questions. I just don't want you to dumb it down. I don't want to pick your starters. I want to give you information the same way you would read information off RotoWorld, or you would get information from Steve Gallo in the huddle, or get information from Matthew Berry and the talented fantasy guys at ESPN, and you can't ask them directly, who do I start in most cases? No, you process the information. You can ask me for information about any particular player, and I'm happy to give it to you. Then you make the final decision as it relates to your starting lineup. The email is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Every email will be answered, and I'll take individual as it relates to your personal teams. And please send the daily questions. I play daily multiple times a weekend, mixing up the early window of 1 o'clock games, or a package of the late afternoon games, or the for this year, kind of new. I started playing it during the NBA playoffs and made some money on it. It's the new single game format where you pick a captain and you earn 1.5 times as many points, but you pay 1.5 times their salary cap value to play them as the captain. Basically, I think the reason they did that was to break ties because there were too many ties with a normal six-player format for just one game. So I usually play those single game situations, or I forget what they call them on DraftKings, but for the Thursday night game, the Sunday night game, or the Monday night game, where you have to pick a captain and you get a point and a half, where you would normally just get a point, but you're spending 50% more money to put that player in that captain position. So feel free to ask the daily questions or questions as it relates to your season-long league. And I know probably last week and into this week, you're now thinking of benching some players or maybe cutting some players that you actually drafted to be a wide receiver two or an RB two. And there's been or you have a question about rookie quarterbacks because they're all going to be in there, really, other than Lamar Jackson. Maybe he's next. Maybe he's not. I mean, nothing about the Ravens really excites me fantasy-wise at this point. It seems that most of the Ravens, it's more of a floor rather than what's been winning in fantasy this year. Having guys who put up Tecmo Bowl numbers. I don't really think there is a Ravens player who has done that or who will do that. So anyway, send me your emails at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, the Bucks Bulletin, talking about Bucks and Bears from a fantasy perspective comes up next. And then on Friday/Saturday, we'll have a full preview of all of the Sunday and the Monday game, which I believe is Chiefs-Broncos. The primetime games are good this week. Thursday with Fox actually airing the first Thursday game of their package. They get Rams and Vikings. And then the Monday game is Broncos and Chiefs. So, so that's the podcast lineup for the rest of the week. Just subscribe to the podcast so you know automatically when the next podcast is available. And thank you very much for continuing to listen to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast.